Like to thank the Special Rapporteur for being here. Ms. Rhona Smith is the Special Rapporteur on the situation of human rights in Cambodia. And she has been here on a visit, an official visit, which started on the 5th of March and is continuing until today. This is her 5th official visit. And the last official meeting was, in fact, this morning. She will be now delivering her end of mission statement, and after that, the floor will be open, and we can take questions, and there can be answers from the Special Rapporteur after. If I could just say, before we start, if there can be no more use of flash for photos, this is for particular health reasons. And now that there have been some photos already with flash, but no more, if we could, thank you. So on that note, I have great pleasure to give the floor to the Special Rapporteur to present her statement.
Thank you. Is it too much echoing?
And just a question for the interpreters. If the microphone is okay, if there's too much...
Okay. Thank you very much. I have now completed my 5th visit to the Kingdom of Cambodia in my capacity as UN Special Rapporteur on the situation of human rights in Cambodia. As always, I would like to thank the government for their invitation to visit and for the willingness of so many state officials to meet with me and discuss openly the human rights situation in Cambodia. I would also like to record my appreciation to the staff at OHCHR in Cambodia and in Geneva who have worked very hard to support and facilitate my mission. You'll be receiving shortly a copy of the full end of mission statement. So what I propose to do just now is simply to go over some of the key points and findings from my mission in the last 10 days. During this mission, I had the privilege of meeting with a large number of senior government officials and also senior court officials. In addition, I met with a wide range of other stakeholders, including representatives of civil society, political parties, and others. I am grateful to all those who have been willing to take the time to share insights and information with me during my mission. I have once again been denied the right to meet with detainees, on this occasion with Mr. Kem Soka in CC3, although I did meet with Nek Bun Che in PJ prison. By way of update, the findings of this mission will be combined with the findings of my mission last August and presented to the Human Rights Council in September. So my report will be submitted before the election and I'll present to the Human Rights Council after the National Assembly elections. On the basis of my mission so far, I can confirm that Cambodia is still experiencing strong economic growth and rapid development. This has provided the government with resources they can invest in improving social protection and access to education, decent work standards, and healthcare. I am encouraged by the plans I have learned about to develop social security and health equity funds and to work towards securing universal health care. I am also encouraged by the pilots on transferring funds to pregnant women and to those who have recently given birth, as well as the planned project for maternity pay for women in the textile sector. Healthcare and social security are expensive, but they are always a worthwhile investment by the government and its people. However, plans and strategies are one thing, the implementation may be something else. And it's important that they are adequately resourced and robustly monitored. In Cambodia and around the world, pregnant women continue to lose their jobs for spurious reasons with little recourse and do not have access to pregnancy and maternity provisions at a time when they and their children are vulnerable. There also continues to be challenges with accessing healthcare through the relevant NSF and HEF cards. And I encourage the government to continue its investment in health, social security and education, and to work across ministries and at all levels of government to ensure these services are available, accessible, acceptable and of high quality for all Cambodians. Cambodia has, as you know, pledged its support for the Sustainable Development Goals and added an additional one on mine and UXO clearance. As Cambodia presents itself to the high-level panel next year, then the localisation plan and evidence of concrete moves towards meeting targets will be central. And resource mobilisation is key. When I met with the Minister of Economy and Finance, I discussed the need to prioritise investment in human rights and in the related sustainable development goals. Adequately resourcing development activities and the realisation of human rights contributes to peace and stability in society. For gains in economic and social rights to be entrenched, it is also necessary to respect civil and political rights. Since I reported to the Human Rights Council in September, there have been serious curtailments to freedoms of assembly, expression, and association, as well as dramatic impacts on political participation and electoral rights. Political actors have been banned from engaging in national politics, media outlets have been closed, and many civil society actors are reluctant to speak openly or defend human rights. At the Human Rights Council in September, many states raised with me questions of the legitimacy and credibility of the forthcoming elections. The dissolution of the CNRP on the 16th of November, the banning of 118 CNRP members from political activity for 5 years, and the reallocation of all that party's local and national seats to unelected members of the ruling and other parties has denied a significant portion of the population their right to take part in public affairs through their freely chosen representatives. I repeat my call on the government to restore the space for any Cambodians to exercise the right to stand for election without fear or intimidation. And I call for a reconsideration of the blanket ban on 118 political actors. I have also expressed my concern to the government at the ongoing closing and restrictions on civil society space and fundamental freedoms in this country. Procedural requirements going beyond the law are creating additional obstacles to the legitimate work of civil society organisations. A range of provisions in the Criminal Code are being used to curtail freedom of expression, and the recent revisions of the Criminal Code and Constitution pave the way for further curtailment of freedoms. Such freedoms can only be limited on narrow, proportionate grounds under international human rights law. I have raised with the government a series of cases which I believe indicate an atmosphere of fear and intimidation which could negatively affect the right to freedom of expression of others and lead to self-censorship and the stymieing of creative and responsible public debate. This is very serious given the pending elections. Restricting Cambodians' voices could ultimately threaten the very stability that the government and the people have worked so hard to build. Freedoms of association, expression, and peaceful assembly should be protected and developed, not restricted, in a multi-party liberal democracy. I have repeatedly expressed my views on the increased tendency of this government to rule by law rather than in accordance with the rule of law upon which the Constitution is based. Rule of law is more than mere application of laws. It means that no one, including the government, is above the law. All persons, institutions, and entities must be accountable to publicly promulgated, independently adjudicated laws which are consistent with international human rights standards. Otherwise, governance becomes rule by law, where laws do not respect human rights principles, are not adopted through a transparent process, and are applied in an arbitrary or discriminatory manner. I have been encouraged to learn of some drafting processes which have been inclusive and involve broad consultation. And I would encourage the government to ensure that all laws are carefully and transparently reviewed prior to enactment to ensure compliance with human rights standards. And I note that particular care is required with fast-tracked laws. So the changes to the Constitution and Criminal Code promulgated last month are not, for example, compatible with international human rights law. To ensure the rule of law, enacted laws must also be applied consistently, on an equal basis, and with legal certainty. It has become increasingly clear to me that there is inconsistency with the application of laws on evidence. There is one provision of the Criminal Procedure Code and no further guidance on evaluating evidence. And the dissolution of the CNRP and the ongoing detention of its former leader, Kem Sokha, is problematic, as the evidence upon which the CNRP was dissolved is in part the same evidence as currently lies with the first instance investigating judge who is deciding whether to proceed with charges of conspiracy with a foreign power against Councillor Carr. I suggest that the Ministry of Justice should consider developing clear guidelines on appropriate standards and evaluations of evidence. And it may be that the ECCC can offer appropriate guidance and support. I warmly welcome the work in the Court of Appeal on strengthening judicial reasoning and on our discussions of publishing decisions of the court. Greater transparency in judicial decision making should lead to greater legal certainty, more consistent decisions and evidence, and on the application of the law, and thereby strengthen public perception of the judiciary and its independence. So I would hope that plans to make public judgments and legal reasoning public should be progressed. It would also have benefits for legal education in Cambodia. Access to justice is still denied to many, and I remain concerned at the prevalence of pre-trial detention. I am also alarmed at the practice of trials not taking place within a reasonable time. And I reiterate my call for the charges against the staff members at Ad Hoc to be definitively dropped, because it is a violation of the right to be tried without undue delay for charges to linger indefinitely and to be reactivated seemingly at random. And there are many other high-profile examples, including Tep Vani on charges relating to events in 2013 and Nek Munche with events in 2007. A fair trial within a reasonable time of arrest is a requirement in international human rights, and it's particularly pressing when so many are held in pre-trial detention. I welcome the development of a national legal aid policy and urge this to be fully developed, then adequately resourced. And I also reiterate my call for all applicable court fees to be publicly displayed. I support the ongoing review of the three fundamental laws on the judiciary and the plans to fully train and deploy Court of Appeal judges to regional courts of appeal. This will make justice more accessible and remove the necessity of so many detainees travelling to Phnom Penh for appeal hearings. So I urge the Ministry of Justice to push forward with their local judicial service centres and associated education programme, to support the greater use of judicial supervision as opposed to pre-trial detention, and to complement the planned expansion of alternatives to custodial sentencing. During my mission, I heard reports of shootings by armed forces at protesters in Karachi province, Snowdon district, over a land dispute with a rubber plantation. I have been following the situation closely and raising concerns directly when meeting with government officials. I am concerned at information I have received that houses and belongings of the affected community were burned, that at least three people suffered injuries from gunfire, and others from beatings, allegedly from mixed forces. Whilst I am relieved that there appears to be no findings of deaths, I regret that OHCHR and civil society observers were prevented from entering the area to fully ascertain what had happened. I think it's important to allow independent monitors access, and I call for an independent investigation. The unrest in Karachi underlines the importance of understanding and addressing the underlying root causes that led to that protest. Root causes, often related to denial of human rights, must be addressed in a fair manner everywhere if peace, stability and development are to be sustainable. In my official meetings, I expressed concern at the prevalence of comments prioritising peace, stability and development over human rights. I therefore reiterate that human rights are crucial for durable peace, stability and development. They cannot be selectively respected or ignored, and they must not be sacrificed. Peace without justice is unsustainable. Development without freedom leaves people behind. And this vision is reflected in the UN Charter and the 2030 Agenda underpinning the Sustainable Development Goals. It also is reflected in Cambodia's constitution, which states that Cambodia is to be an oasis of peace based on a liberal, multi-party democratic system, guaranteeing human rights and respect of law, progressively developing the nation. Thank you.